You and greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be multiplied among us this evening hour of grace and ever henceforth. Amen. It's good to see so many of you this evening. Many familiar faces out there, at least as far as I can see, and also many unfamiliar ones. It's good to be together, gathered around this precious word of the Lord. For our meditation, shall we turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 84, a psalm that I'm sure is very familiar to every one of us, and a psalm that was sung, we understand, by pilgrims who were coming to feast days at Jerusalem. And we can understand as we read the psalm the joy that was in their hearts as they came closer and closer to that place where they would meet the Lord. Reading in Jesus' name as follows. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and our meditation upon that word as well. As I noted, this is a psalm that was written and sung by pilgrims who came to Jerusalem or to the area of the tabernacle. It's not sure, as we know, putting times and years on many of these portions of Scripture is nearly impossible, so it may even have been written at an earlier time when people were coming into the presence of the tabernacle. Whatever it might be, there was joy in their hearts because they were coming to what they considered to be the dwelling place of God. And the chapter begins, or the psalm begins, with how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Amiable meaning friendly, likable, also lovable, delightful. It's a blessed place, as we read in these verses, to be surrounded by the children of God and immersed in the Word of God. We read in our text of how that Word strengthens us, how it encourages us to continue walking upon the way. And even during times of sorrows, it brings to us confidence that we will overcome through the mercies of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to each one of us when we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. I pray that each one of us this evening is longing in our hearts, that we are starving for that word. Because if we have that longing for the word of God, if we are starving for that which is able to supply us, we know that we will be fed. We know that God knows the needs of each one of our hearts. And during these services, he is able to provide that spiritual nourishment and understanding that we need. We also recognize how important it is to be gathered around the Word of God. The 63rd Psalm is a Psalm of David, one that is very closely aligned, I believe, to this 84th Psalm. And in that Psalm, David, who is hiding in the Judean desert from Saul, speaks of his desire to be gathered in the sanctuary of the Lord. My flesh, he writes, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see the thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. David missed that fellowship, missed that opportunity to be there in the sanctuary, gathered with the other children of God, to hear that precious word, and to be in the very courtyards of the tabernacle. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. We think of Simeon, written of in the New Testament, who spent his days in the temple, along with Anna. We read of her as well, aged Anna, who spent their days. And we read of Simeon, of how he longed for that consolation that was to be found in Israel. And so it came, much to his delight. We remember of his thanksgiving and of how he said that he is ready now to depart, because he had seen that promised Messiah. That is the consolation that is to be found in God's word, even this evening. The consolation that is brought to us by the knowledge of the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has promised us that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. We know that in these Old Testament days, and even into the New Testament, among the Jews, the belief was that God dwelt on the Temple Mount, or dwelt in his tabernacle. And that's why they needed to go there. Well, we know in the New Testament that God is with us at all times. That was the promise of Christmas. A God who is with us, Emmanuel, at all times. He is with us this evening. He is with us in our hearts through his Spirit. He is with the church and so on. He is there. And we approach him through this word as it is broken into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah, writing of that consolation in his 40th chapter, in the very first two verses, speaks in this way, comfort ye my people. That's what we find in God's word, is comfort. For we know that we are wretched, even as Paul did, perhaps many of us heard preached on Sunday or read for ourselves Romans 7, the epistle text for the day, and of how Paul came to that conclusion, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? And what is the comforting answer? Jesus Christ, he is the one who came to give himself so that we might have life and have it most abundantly, so that we do not need to dwell in misery. We do not need to dwell in fear. Rather, we dwell in that assurance that our sins are forgiven as God's children, and that we have a home in heaven ready for us whenever we depart from this terrestrial sphere. So comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. That's the consolation of which Isaiah spoke, the consolation for which Simeon longed, and the consolation that we have of God's children, and how our hearts long to come into the hearing of God's word, so that we might be comforted by that word and assured that Jesus loves us. God loves us. We are most beloved. And so our hearts and our flesh crieth out for the living God. And we might wonder about that flesh part. We know that our flesh so often does not long to even be gathered with other children of God. That's the way we are. But there comes a time in our lives, I believe, when even our flesh gives in and comes along with us. That's why we're here this evening. We know that we have been called through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are here not because we made that decision, but because we were responsive to that call that came to us to be in the presence of the living God and of His people so that we might be encouraged and enabled by this word to continue walking upon that highway of life. The writer of this psalm uses the image here, the sparrows, the birds of the air, who found refuge in the temple or the tabernacle precincts. And there they brought their young and made their nests, and where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And just as those swallows or those sparrows of the air brought their young to that altar, so we also do. We know that it's important for us that our children also are with us at the hearing of God's word, so that their hearts and lives might be enlivened by the word. As parents, we know that so often it seems that our children aren't even paying attention as a preacher is up there preaching. And yet, there are times when they speak to us, and we know that, yes, they were paying attention. And we ourselves, who have attended church since childhood, remember often those words and those moments when we were gathered together around God's word, and of the impact that that relationship has brought to our own lives, where we feel even the most secure when we are in the presence of God's word and in the hearing of that word, gathered together with all of God's children. It's good to be here face to face, particularly when we have the energy and the physical ability to do so. We know that there are many who are unable to gather anymore. They are in their homes, nursing homes, elders' homes, hospitals, but not strong enough to be gathered together in the presence of God's children, hearing that word. Oh, how important it is for us to take those opportunities and to come and not think, well, I'll go next time. Not today. Next Sunday is soon enough. But we know that when we come to God's word, it is a special blessing. And we need to take our flesh into subjection so that we are here, just as those sparrows were, as they made their nests and brought forth their young, so we also do. Because blessed, as this portion of the first four verses end with this verse, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. You know, sometimes when we read about this psalm or we hear this psalm, we might believe or even hear people say, well, this writer was referring to those priests and the Levites and those who had positions within that tabernacle or within that temple. But actually, we dwell in that house, don't we? We dwell in the tabernacle of the New Testament, the body of Jesus Christ. It's pictured to us in two different ways in the New Testament, at least those that I remember at this moment, the members of the body of Christ, and also that which has been constructed of living stones, where Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and we are those living stones that have been mortared in through the love of God and through that redemptive work that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ performed when we came to know Him as our Lord and as our Savior. We are given that gift to be in this fellowship, and it's a precious gift. John, writing in his first epistle, speaks to us at the immediate beginning in the first chapter of why he and the others are recording those things that happened to them when they walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship that we have is important. We need to treasure it. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a family. A wonderful family. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And just as families have their differences, so do we. We know that there is no perfect outward church. There are going to be dissensions. There are going to be squabbles. There are going to be difficulties within that, just as there are in real families. But do we hate our families because we cannot agree on everything? No, we do not. We love them all the more. So it is with our Christian family. We need to love each other, not reject each other, but love each other in and through Christ. Remember that as His children, we are hid with Christ in God. He is our Father. Precious Father that He is, and is able to provide us with all of those spiritual needs that we must have so that we are able to continue walking upon that highway of life. Blessed, we continue with the next section, of those who are walking upon that highway. If we picture back to those days when they're walking to the gathering, wherever it might be, a coming together, walking along that highway, often through dangerous parts, difficult paths that they traveled. But it also has a significant spiritual meaning for us as we travel spiritually through this life. And the blessed is the man whose strength is in thee when we travel, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Now whether this was an actual place or not, who knows? And it doesn't make any difference. It has such a significant spiritual meaning to us as we walk in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. As we are in this house where we are fed, we walk in that strength. And we have the hearts, he tells us. Blessed is the man whose heart are the ways of them who walking upon that highway of Zion, who passing through the valley of Baca. Some call this the valley of weeping, the valley of tears, the valley of Baca, Mulberry, whatever names might be given to it. They make it well. We know that in our travels, our spiritual travels, we know that there are those high places when our hearts are singing and when we are filled with that spiritual joy. But there are also those more difficult times when we are down in the valleys. Spiritual valleys, perhaps brought about even by those natural things that happen in our lives. We're down there. But we are told to have the hearts of those who were in those valleys. And what did they do? They dug wells. What happened to those wells? They filled with water so that they were able to drink upon that journey. And we know that that water is so often symbolic of God's word as well as of His Spirit. And we know that it is often difficult to dig that well. But let's think for a moment of the epistle writer Judah, who speaks of how we must contend for the faith, strive for that faith at times, a struggle, contend, dig deeply, and we find we need to pause. It's so easy to throw up our arms and say, oh, well, I can't do it. In this natural life as well, I used to tell my graduate students when we were in difficult portions, and I knew that it was difficult, and it's so easy at that time, so I'll forget about it. I said, you have to contend. You've got to struggle with the conscience. And so we do spiritually many times in our lives. We need to contend with what is there, not ignore it, because we're going to be successful when we dig into God's word, when we pray to Him in earnest, when we discuss together with others the problems that we have. We are contending. We are digging that well that's going to be filled with that nourishment, that nurturing that comes from above, from the very heart of our Heavenly Father. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that an encouragement? We don't need to give up. Our flesh will often want to give up, forget about it. But we don't. When our hearts are those that have been blessed with strength through the power of the Heavenly Father, through the power of the Spirit and of His Word, and we pass through those valleys, and rather than making that valley a place of defeat, a place of great suffering, it becomes a place of joy in the midst of suffering. Now that spiritual joy that we speak of isn't a fleshly joy necessarily, but it is that comfort. Notice how this begins. The King James translators use an older word. How amiable. How amiable. Friendly. God's word is friendly to us. It's lovely, yes, but it's friendly. It calls us. Tenderly calls us unto the Lord. Unto that power that He's able to give us. Unto that success that we find through the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember what James writes in his epistle of how when the enemy of the soul is plaguing us, we say, get out of here, Satan. Goodbye. As Jesus said when Peter began to, argue with him, when Jesus began to talk about his coming death and so on. Peter said, no, as we would say, that's not going to happen to you. It can't happen to you. What does Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You see how cleverly Jesus knew that. The devil works cleverly in our own lives. And that's why we need to be in tune with the Word of God and with that Spirit that of life that He gives to us so that we continue walking not in those things that weaken us, but in those things that give us the spiritual strength to continue. They go from strength to strength, every one of them. In Zion appeareth before God from strength to strength. Through the power of that word, through the power of the sacraments, as they strengthen us in Holy Communion, for example. And thinking back to our baptism and the promises that were made there, and Luther's instruction, and what is the meaning? And it is that each day is a new day of God's grace, and that we lay aside this old man with its desires so that the new man may come forth and serve the Lord. We are strengthened, encouraged, enabled to continue walking in the way of life, in that wonderful city of Zion, in that that the Hebrew writer speaks to us of as well. It's a beautiful, toward the end of the, in the 12th chapter, of where we read in Hebrews of how God is a consuming fire, and speaking first of that first mount of Sinai that might be touched, and that burned with fire. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with black unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and so on. But rather, he says in verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But to what mount have we come? And so terrible was the sight, but that Moses said that he feared and quaked. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's where we have come. And to Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. And so as we journey toward the church, to the sanctuary. We journey with each other upon that highway of life. And eventually, that journey is going to lead us home, to that heavenly home, to that wonderful place that is there for us, where Jesus told his disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. That mansion is waiting for you. That place is waiting for me. And it's going to happen. And it's not something to be afraid of. Our flesh may fear. We know this life is precious, but it's a wonderful place. A wonderful place. I was thinking recently about the fact that this is haymaking season in this part of the world, and thinking back to my youth and when we got the loader that loaded hay magically onto the hay wagon instead of just in my young teens. And so the picture that was in my mind, it was the first time that I was driving this ancient, huge farm-all tractor that we had. My dad and my young brother Paul were in the hay wagon, my dad to receive the hay that came out of the loader and my brother then to stamp on it. And I sat down, not having driven that tractor very often, and I took off and I gave them a ride down that windrow that was a ride of their life. And finally I heard my dad yelling, "Slow down! What are you doing?" I looked behind and the hay was just pouring out of there. They were being covered. There's no way that they could keep up with it. It seems as though it happened yesterday. It's so fresh in my mind. And yet that was at least 55 years ago. Yes, young people, 55 years ago. Those decades have just flown by. That's why we're going to be home pretty soon. We might think, oh, I still have maybe 20 years, 10 years, 30, 50, 60, 70 years. Those years are going to be gone in a flash. And at the end is the great reward. You don't need to be afraid of it. Some time ago, I was thinking of a loved one who had passed on and remembering the good times that I've had in this particular aunt's home. And I felt sad for a moment, and suddenly I was given that thought, but you're going to meet someday. And to me, it was a very strange experience because suddenly my heart began to pound with delight as though I was going to jump in my car and go there, just as we do on a trip, and there she would be. But it was just like this little glimpse that God gave me, often doubting and trembling Earl, that that's how wonderful it's going to be. You will see those loved ones. Most important, you will see Jesus Christ. We will be there in that fellowship, total fellowship. Here we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. How wonderful that will be. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. This writer's prayer to God was for that strength, for the ability to keep walking, we would suppose. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In the 11th verse we are told, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. We know that Jesus Christ also is our shield, our advocate. John writes of that also in his epistle, in the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is our advocate, even this evening, sitting at the right hand of God, our intercessor, our mediator. And so we rely upon our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is with us even this evening. And upon that word, faith comes by hearing, as we read in Romans 10, and hearing by the word of God. And even tonight, our faith is increased as we are strengthened, as we hear that word and meditate upon that word and upon those promises that we find in Scripture, and above upon that assurance of the fact that we are beloved. We also then will have the same thought in our minds as we find in verse 10, that a day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand spent somewhere else. This world has much to offer us as far as our flesh is concerned. But what do we lose if we give ourselves up to this world? We lose that eternal inheritance. It's not worth it, is it? It isn't worth it at all. The joy that we need is right here. Right here this evening. That assurance that we have in our hearts that we are in the family of God. We are in His presence, even as we read in this text and in other portions. The eye of God is fastened upon us, just as our eyes and hearts are fastened upon our children, no matter what age they might become. God's eyes are fastened upon you and upon me, even this evening. He knows, as I said at the beginning, our needs. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, of God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, just to be within that family, to be within that sanctuary. That is a most blessed gift. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's the promise of God, the assurance of which we have spoken. The Lord will give grace and glory, even this evening. I pray that each one of us here is rejoicing in salvation, rejoicing in the knowledge that we are children of God. And if there is even one soul who is not, the Lord is tenderly calling you with words of comfort. Come unto me, is His plea. Jesus gave Himself so that we might have life and have it most abundantly. His blood was shed, and it wasn't just pooled onto the sand of Palestine, but it flows even this evening through Zion. It flows right now. Those dew drops from heaven of forgiveness are right here. That blood that cries better things than the blood of Abel. We know that the gospel message essence is this, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus reaches out to us with loving hand, even this evening, to come forth to know that that blessing of forgiveness belongs to each one of us, no matter who we are or how we are, even at this moment. We know that our sins are forgiven and can be forgiven in the name and precious atoning blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we will be walking uprightly in His righteousness, not in our own manufactured fleshly righteousness, but in His righteousness we journey. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. I pray that we might go forth this week, even to these worship services, trusting in the Lord, and that our hearts will be uplifted by the word that we hear. Let us be in a spirit of prayer, as we have heard already, for ourselves and for those who will be sharing that word with us. He is coming again in power and great glory. As John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In His name, amen.